We all know that women are not funny. And no one proves it better than Kay Ballard, the accidental lawyer who is the accidental host of our show. Of course, every accident that Kay Ballard encounters is intentional. And now her intention is to accidentally disprove the show's premise. So sit back and enjoy a fun conversation that matters between Kay and today's fabulous featured guest. Welcome to Women Are Not Funny Radio.
Hello, this is Kay Ballard, and I want to welcome you to Women Are Not Funny Radio, the show that celebrates its own premise by sometimes proving it. But today, I have high hopes because our guest is the very funny and highly original Donna M. Butler. She is the founder and visionary of the Broke Wives Club, and it promises to take its members from broke to stoked. So today we'll be talking with Donna about her very clever use of metaphors and her very clever use of video. Do you see a theme there? And we're also going to find out just how clever she really is, because I'm going to make her defend her statement that it is fun to get older. How could that possibly be? Anyway, before we talk to Donna, I have a few announcements to make, and the reason I must is because we were not here last week. We have been busy behind the scenes putting together a lot of new and exciting things for Women Are Not Funny, including we're now on iTunes, and that is thanks to our technical advisor, Jason Fowler, who is actually a very bright and capable teenager living in Austin, Texas. And the most exciting news of all, we have a fabulous new production assistant on staff. She is Faith Go, and she is a 22-year-old law student in the Philippines. And she's really raising the stakes for Women Are Not Funny because she has begun to provide transcripts of all of our show's interviews. And so that means that we have to face up to what we said shortly after the show. We have to read the things we said shortly after the show. So see, it really raises the stakes. Faith is also going to be managing the Women Are Not Funny social media campaign. And part of that is the establishment of a brand new channel on YouTube. And that's in the design process. And some of you know that our staff designer is Kate Carpenter, who is tied up, how dare she, with other clients until October. So we have Sean Welsh, who is translating Kate's design vision to our YouTube channel. So that's going to be going up right away. We have some talented videographers and filmmakers who are mostly of the male persuasion, who are busy at work creating humorous videos for our new channel to promote Women Are Not Funny, so we're very excited about that. You know we have the new voiceovers by Morgan Barnhart. You just heard one. And we have the fabulous, awesome, pretty jingle by Broda Finn, which we played on the website and we played last week, and it's really fun and strong. Now, here's the biggest announcement of all. As you know, I'm constantly asking our guests if they're using their appearance on Women Are Not Funny as a stepping stone to something better. And I did ask Michelle Woodward the question 2 weeks ago. Well, as it happens, she admitted just today, just minutes ago, that she had used Women Are Not Funny as a stepping stone to her appointment as executive director of the Reagan Centennial Commission. So you see, this show is just instrumental in taking people to new heights in their careers. So that leads me to ask today's guest, Donna M. Butler. Donna, are you too using Women Are Not Funny as a stepping stone to something better?
Absolutely. What a way to get a shameless plug out for what I'm doing, and to do it with such a fabulous site and a fabulous idea that you have, Women Are Not Funny. why not come on a top-rated show and talk about what I'm doing? Who knows what it might lead me to? So, yes, I admit it. I admit it. I won't wait a week. I'll admit it right now. But I am glad to be here.
Well, I'm so glad you're here. And, you know, normally when people come on the show, I also have to ask them. Because I'm, you know, Donna, I'm not paranoid, but a woman just has to protect herself sometimes, you know, from loving others. I have to ask my guests, who are fine, upstanding people, I want you to understand this, but I'm a little suspicious that sometimes they are here kind of auditioning to take over the show. But I know I don't have to fear that from you because you actually have your own radio show, isn't that right?
That's right. You don't have to fear from me on that issue. I have my own show, and it gets to be overwhelming. You know, I'm so lucky and blessed to have two co-hosts with me to help me through the times when I just really struggle to, you know, get on and get that upbeat. So, no, trying to take over a whole show by myself on the radio, no, you don't have to worry about that, Kay. I'm good to go, and I love splitting the work with my other two lovely co-hosts on my show.
Well, see, here's what I have found, and I'm so glad to have you verify it. A weekly show can really pound you. It really pounds you, doesn't it? It just comes around so quickly. And one of the things about it, you know, this we're actually in phase two of Women Are Not Funny. The show had a slightly different format and a different host last fall. But one of the things that we've learned is you have to do it weekly if you're going to build an audience. But it nearly kills you. So I don't know. I don't know what you do. But anyway, your show is called The Attitude Shift.
It is.
That is a great name. But it leads me to my first subject I want to talk with you about, and that is your very clever use of metaphor in all of the things that you're doing. But the thing that intrigued me, Donna, is that with your main property and all of its little outshoots, you kind of use what is known as a male metaphor. You use a car metaphor.
Yes, absolutely. Why? Because I love cars. I always tell people that's the guy side of me. I think we all have an untapped guy side. I really do. And my untapped guy side is the powerful muscle cars. I like to get greasy. I like to see what makes them work. But then I know I look good in them as well. So I've always dreamed of having a red Corvette. And when I say always, from the time I think I could point, I pointed at a Corvette. And, you know, gag, want that, whatever. I got a Corvette in my mind. It's embedded in my mind. I see it in my sleep. I can hear it every week when we climb into our virtual red Corvette. I can smell the leather. And I can hear Al Green playing on my disc player. So, yes, I use the metaphor of a Corvette. And pretty much in everything that I do, the attitude shift, you know, shifting gears, you know, shifting from broke to stoked, all those things you will find that I involve myself with cars. I use cars.
Well, darling, it's so amazing to me that you hear Al Green, and we all love Al Green, but I was hearing Prince singing Little Red Corvette the moment you mentioned it.
Immediately, you know what, I wanted that as a lead-in for the show, but then I started really, I love Prince, taking nothing away from the purple one. When I started reading the words and really dissecting on what he was talking about, I thought I better not use that song. Because if we listen to the words, what the little Corvette actually is, yeah, I think that we better just let that one go, and I'll just stick to hearing Al Green, Love and Happiness.
Al Green. You know, he is the right reverend from time to time.
He is the right reverend.
So here's the thing. Now that you've mentioned it, I can kind of picture you in that little red Corvette, and I hope you get one. I hope you really do, our big red Corvette, whatever. But it's so amazing to me that you have – this organization that you've had a little over a year, if I have that right.
You do.
The Rogue Wives Club, and you just in every way outfit it with this male metaphor. Do the women in your club respond to that well?
The ones that are in touch with their male site, the untapped mail site. I get lots of mail. And it also gets confusing sometimes because for the longest time, people would write to me asking if I was a man, if I was Don instead of Donna M. You know, they kind of did the Victoria's Secret thing, saying, well, you know, behind Victoria's Secret was a man, which, you know, to me, I don't know or really care. But they thought that I was a man because they were saying, you sound so much like a man. You're tapping into women's feelings. You're talking about it's okay, you know, to be this way. It's okay to cry. It's okay. And they were beginning to wonder if I was truly a man. So then popped up the videos. I started having to show myself. I said, you know what, we better show myself. We better show who I am instead of the rose. We better start showing what I look like and that I have these different personalities and see what happens there. And so, yes, we have increased visibility. People now can say, okay, it is a girl. She's a female, and they relate more. But at first, it was a little sketchy. And like I said, I tapped into those that were, you know, on there, and I'm going to keep using it because, you know, it kind of gets me in trouble, but I know what I talk about. And that's that we all have that tapped in, you know, hidden, untapped tomboyish side, guy side, and all those things. And we can kind of bump up with the best of them sometimes. I love football. I outdo my whole family in football, my husband. I, you know, more about football than he does, so on and so forth. But I think that once they realize that I am indeed a woman, it loosened up things and I got a better response from people.
Well, Donna, let me give you a little feedback and tell you, I didn't have a moment where I thought that you were a man or that there were men behind your club. Now, that could be partially because I ran onto you on video to begin with, but to me, I was just struck once again by the male metaphor, and I think we are, as women, very accustomed to male metaphors because, you know, they're just out there so much. And as
yes.
someone who went to law school, you know, the sports metaphors and certainly the car metaphors and a lot of the team metaphors and the war metaphors and so forth. But there's really nothing about your use of it that strikes me as male, just the fact that you embraced one, you know, and you're not using a garden club metaphor or that kind of thing. You are just infinitely clever in your use of it. So one of the things that you have, though, as part of that metaphor, I was also struck by it, because you talk a good bit about the world's largest toe chain, the world's biggest toe chain, the gigantic toe chain, the huge toe chain, the long toe chain, the greasy toe chain, you know, it goes on. And the reason I'm struck by it, Donna, and, you know, I will let you talk, but it might be next week before you get
to
it.
That's fine.
I've been saying for years, as I have so many women friends and colleagues and associates who are so talented and people I would love to work with, but I always tell them and tell people, and I live it and feel it, I do not want to drag someone along. I do not want to push someone. I want to hang out with people who want to dance alongside me. And I just, you know, I'm amazed by the fact that you, and I think it's cool, but you apparently in your club and in your work, what you are interested in is helping women who do need to grab that chain, who do need to be pulled along. And so talk about that a little bit.
Well, I saw the need through my own need over a year ago where the Broke Wives Club started. You know, I saw a need. I had been faced with a home in foreclosure. My husband was hurt playing with our children. He broke both of his feet and both of his ankles. And he couldn't work, and he couldn't walk. He was in a wheelchair, wheelchair-bound. So after 15 years of being a stay-home mom, a struggling writer and promoter of my superhero, I had to go back in the workforce. And there was nothing out there really for me. I kept hearing the things that, you know, you're kind of old for this job. You know, that's what I was hearing. And I'm a paralegal, and I haven't been doing anything like that. Like I said, 15 years. I've been raising children, you know, practically all my life, and boom, bam, here I go. I am all of a sudden thrust back out and scared and afraid and worried about losing my house, I find myself at 2 o'clock in the morning one morning debating whether I should end it all. And I'm being really honest, debate on if suicide was even an option. In a moment of sheer despair, that's what I thought, failing to realize that I'm much more than that, that I'm much more stronger than that. I've come through, you know, so much, but in that sort of desperation, didn't see the hope. And so what I did was call my sad, pitiful self back to the couch where I stumbled on journals that I've been keeping for 15 years. I was actually planning on giving journals to my girls, putting them in different piles, who gets what. I mean, this was in my mind. And I stumbled across one of the journals, and inside was an entry I had made after meeting with four of my friends who we were super close. We did everything together, and once a month we met together at one or the other's home, and we had a meal, no guys, no kids, and we just talked it out. And then we called ourselves Broke Mama Wives. And a light bulb just seemed K to go right off in my head, right then and there. And I thought, you know, I used to feel really good when I was around these women. These women, we all were able to talk and share and uplift and, you know, try to help each other solve whatever was going on in the moment. And that was a good feeling. And so I hit Facebook and I put a question out on Facebook. How many of you have ever felt so alone in your life that you thought about doing the unthinkable? Well, I went to bed. I didn't kill myself, actually. You can hear me now. the next morning I woke up and there were, when I say dozens, there were responses from my friends and their friends. And they all seemed to say the same thing. What do you do? You know, the women had complaints. You get close with a friend, she stabs you in the back. Someone's always trying to crawl over you to get what they want and use you. And I started seeing that. And I started saying, well, you know what? How do we fix that? How do we fix that? So then sat down, started thinking about it, Broke Wives Club. And then we could envision. I teamed up with Siobhan Shaw, my co-partner, who was looking for something on a whole different genre. She was looking for inspirational stories of faith and hope. I answered that call, ended up talking to her for 2 hours on the phone, telling her my entire life story and the idea for the Broke Wives Club. To this day, she said she got chill bumps hearing it. And then I asked her the question that she probably thought I was crazy in the beginning, would you help me? Would you help me? And she said yes. And so we started from right there at that point, figuring out how to help women to help themselves. And then the vision, always the male, like you said, the male metaphors, I started thinking about things that we use to help us when we're in a jam. Well, when your car is stuck, you usually, if you can afford AAA, good. But if you can't, the first thing you try to do is tow it out. And then I started looking at the workings of a tow chain. You know, the intricate little links that all have a job. You have to, you know, they all link together, and it's for one common goal, and that's to pull. That's to pull something out. And so that's where that came from. And then I started envisioning women, I call them sisters, because that's what we should be, is doing that, holding hands and pulling each other. And with that other hand, you know, we have two hands. One hand is to accept the help. The other hand is to pull someone else along. And that's where the tow chain concept came. And I have still that vision of the world's largest tow chain of sisters.
Well, one beautiful thing about the metaphor is it is something that you can picture, and it's a very strong picture. And I think your use of that sort of imagery is both amusing and very, very powerful. And that's part of the reason that you've had such great success in building your community in just a short year time. I am very intrigued by the fact that you only recently met your business partner, Siobhan.
Yes.
And I can totally relate to that, but it's an experience that we have in social networking all the time that people in the real world a lot of times cannot relate to. Would you agree with that? The whole idea,
yes,
that we could become close and that we could become business partners with people we've never met physically?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And a lot of people kept telling me that same thing. I was hearing from people, how can you work with her when you don't see her? You know, you're just talking on the phone, and how do you know you're even going to like each other? How do you even know, you know, that this is something that's going to work? How do you build that trust? How do you build that confidence that you're sharing, you know, your ideas with her and she's sharing her ideas with you? But it goes back to when you're sure, you know, of something and being aware of yourself. I know me. I know the kind of person I am. And I know that I have this really discernment on people. I have a sense of people. And I, on the phone with her, her proof to me was she talked for 2.5 hours to a stranger. Mm-hmm. And she talked to me not just about this idea. She talked to me about how I felt about killing myself. She talked to me about the journey that I was on of saving my home from foreclosure. She offered suggestions, and that was her hand. That was her hand. She offered her hand. I have friends and associates who knew that I was getting towards the end of this road that didn't reach out that way. This was a total stranger who reached out to me, and I held on tight, and I did, without ever seeing her face. I held on tight, and we became a link. We linked together. And I like to say a titanium link because it was a link that when we connected and she said yes, it was just there. I could call her, and she called me regularly to check up on me as we were working all the kinks out. You know, I had $60 in my account, and we used it to get the domain name. I can't tell you the times that she's bailed me out with just the smallest little thing that she could do. You know, she got $200 and she sent me $100 to help me with where I was. And these are the kind of things that sisterhood is about to me. This is what makes the toe chain concept work. It's not just money. It's just friendship. It's compassion. It's love. And it's a good sense of humor that we both have. If I'm down, she could just make me laugh. But I don't even want to laugh, you know. There she is. And I would like to think that I can do the same for her.
Well, I agree with that, that laughter seems to be a very strong part of both your connection with each other and also your connection with your members. And that was one of the reasons that once I became aware of you, I said, oh, my goodness, I have to have her as a guest for Women Are Not Funny. She is perfect because what we are about marginally is investigating the whole idea of how women use humor in their careers and in their lives, and you have used it in a big way to start what is essentially a movement. Now, how did you come up with the name? You told me you ran across something similar in your journal, but you name, you know, here I am. I have to tell you, Donna, I'm not a wife. I mean, I was. I spent some years as a wife and even have a comedy CD about my divorce. But I'm not a broke wife. And so I'm not offended. You know, I don't have to belong. I don't have to be a member of every club. But how did you come up with the name?
The name came from where I was at that point. The name came exactly where I was at that point. And so, yes, I was selfish. That title strictly came from me and where I was. And then as we went on, we thought about that. And we thought, you know, there are going to be women. And I do get letters from women that say, well, I want to be a part, but I'm not a wife. And so to me, you know, people said, well, just change the name. But it wasn't still even about changing the name, because when you go to the site, when you read exactly what it is, the broke wives simply came because that is where I was at that point. I remember the women that were with me at that point in time, and we were wives, and we were struggling, and we were doing that. And I found that a lot of the women that were responding were in the same situation I was in. They were trying to take care of their homes. They were trying to help their husbands make ends meet. There were some that were divorced that still considered, you know, themselves as the wife. So I didn't tamper with it. You know, I have this saying, if it works, don't tamper with it. So we didn't tamper with the name, but yet we made it clear to women, and I still try to do my best to make it clear to women. You are not excluded. If you're not a wife, that's okay. If you were a wife, that's okay. It's about what we're trying to do, and that's to take that toe chain and put it across this country and get more women to jump on. And maybe one day, you know, someone will come along and we'll say, hey, guess what? We've got more non-wives than wives. And so we're going to call it the book non-wives, but whatever you want to be club. But, you know, for right now, this is what has been effective for me. It's therapy for me as well.
Oh, darling, I'm not complaining about the name. In fact, I think it is very effective and it's very memorable, which is always important. And there's really nothing about your message that makes a person feel excluded. I don't think at all. You know, when particularly when you're inviting people to grab onto the world's greatest tow chain and help pull others and be pulled along. So it's a very strong message. And there's also, through and through in your work, there's just this message of optimism. So that's why I am so happy today to have the opportunity to play this fabulous rendition of Over the Rainbow by Christopher Sauter, who is, you know, just a fabulous musician and was kind enough to give me permission to play it in your honor. So, I think you're going to love it. So I'm going to play it right now.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4.
I think you're ruining my makeup right now.
That is just the most beautiful version, and I have links. It is beautiful. I have links to Christopher's site on our show notes, including his YouTube channel, and I have links to your YouTube channel because that's where I ran into you. Donna, I saw you. And I don't know exactly how I found you, but it's one of those happy social media accidents. I was probably watching another video, and your video was alongside on the right side. You know how they do on YouTube?
Yes,
and
I do.
I watched the video of you restyling a Broke Wives T-shirt, and I just, you know, I just couldn't believe it. And what is funny to me now is I thought it was very, very funny. When I rewatched it, you know, it's not out and out comedy, but there was just something about it that struck me as funny. And I want the listeners to know, so they had ordered in their brand new Broke Wives Club T-shirt. But immediately, you know, even though they like a V-neck, they order them with the round necks because they were cheaper and they were Broke Wives. And so Donna was giving instructions about how to restyle them in a V. And I just thought, man, you know what? I'm going to cut a T-shirt.
Hey, I'm going to make sure I send you a T-shirt, too. I'm going to do a video just for you. I'm going to cut your V in your T.
Oh, my goodness. That is so funny. That's adorable. But it's really cute the way you did it, and it looks so good. But the thing that strikes me over and over again is your clever use of video. You have uploaded, in the course of a year, a lot of videos, haven't you?
I have. I find that video, you know, it, like I said, it started out to kind of clear up the who is she, give people an idea of who I was. But then I started having fun because I have a hobby of collecting wigs, and I started having fun with those wigs. They have always had characters with them. My husband never knows who he's going to see sometimes. But I started thinking, you know what, we have so many different personalities, we as women. You know, we can be broke in several different ways, or maybe we're not broke. But I wanted to get across messages to people, and not just women, because now with the attitude shift, we're attracting a lot of men. I wanted to get across that we can be different and unique, but still have a common goal. And my goal is to make you smile and make you laugh and put you on a journey that can maybe change your entire life, where you'll start thinking outside of the triangle and start doing things differently.
Well, darling, you either made me laugh or you convinced me you have multiple personality disorder. I haven't quite decided. And I watched, yes, you do. Now, one of my friends who wears wigs calls them accessories, but you just out and out call them wigs. You have this huge wig collection. It's no wonder you're broke, darling. You have spent, you know, you have a fortune in wigs. And I watched the videos, and I had to make sure it was you. Yes. The beautiful cheekbones are there in every video, and, you know, I could identify you kind of like they do corpses with your teeth, but you do look so you do look so different with all those different wigs. In fact, you're even a Russian in one of them.
Absolutely.
That was amazing. You know, so there is Penny and Penelope and Lisa and Phoebe and Natalie and Tiffany. Oh, my goodness, I'm sure I've left someone out. But who I know I've left out is my favorite character of all, and that is Lisa Johnson.
Lisa, everyone loves Lisa. And first, before we talk a little about Lisa, I want to let you know something. All my wigs, they are donated. All my wigs are donated from various wig places. I have become really good connections with the hair places around my town, and they know what I'm doing. And I walk in, and they tell me, guess what? I have this one for you. You're going to love this. You're going to look great in this, and the video is going to be good. And one day you're going to give me shout-outs and credit for this. So, yes, to all the people that are listening that have supported me with my wigs, once again, thank you. I thank them so much because they keep me looking different, and they love to see the wigs on video. So
I guess they do. I guess
there's a lot of donation. I have family that will buy a wig for me. They will buy a wig for me, and they will say, "Hey, I was thinking about you when I got this wig, and it looks really good on you. And hopefully, you will try it on and love it and look good in it." And that is exactly what I do for them. There have been some that I still have that I haven't, you know, got characters with, but they're coming. They're coming soon.
How funny. Well, I want to tell our listeners about Lisa Johnson because they're going to want to. Now, I only saw one video of Lisa. There may be more, but they are going to want to watch it. And the thing that I found fascinating about it, in the Lisa Johnson video, she is and let me go on to say, Donna, this video is almost 10 minutes long, and
yes. The
videos on YouTube that are popular, certainly the ones that are popular with me and the ones that are popular with most people, are about a minute and a half. So to have a video that's 10 minutes long and kept me entertained, oh, my goodness, it was very funny, and it was just masterful because what you did, you were doing a makeover of your protege. And
my little protege.
Yeah,
Charlena.
And my guess is that Charlena is a granddaughter. Do I have that right?
No, Charlena is my niece.
Well,
she loves to see me in wigs.
Well, the really funny thing to me about the video is, and this is just a sign of how good you are. You had an awareness and you were fabulous with both of your audiences, because one audience, of course, was us, the viewers, and the other one was Charlena. And she, you know, you played to both audiences at the same time. And she was just fascinated by you and everything you said, and to look at the look on her face as you were going on. And a lot of your videos have humor in them, but this was just all out funny. And I'm quite curious, did you write a script before you did it, or were you just winging it?
No, Lisa just wings everything. All my characters, they just wing it. Like I said, you made me laugh inside, but, you know, made me stop and think when you were saying she's good like that, or she has multiple, you know, personality disorders. And it's just like that. You know, when I know I'm going to do Lisa, you know, I pretty much have to have the mindset of Lisa for an hour. I have to walk around and be Lisa for an hour. And then depending on who she's talking to, like with my little niece, it was simple because she has watched me and she wants to be like Lisa. And I don't know why, but you know, she wants to be like Lisa. And so I sit down and we took a wig and we just did it. We did Lisa the way Lisa would do a little girl, you know, following her. But there's never any script. And sometimes you can probably tell that, but there's never any script. It's just put the hair on and go with who the character is.
Well, you know what? And that fits in. That brings me to something else. You're very quotable, you know, in a number of ways. But you said something in one of your videos that I was just struck by. So I'm looking for it. I'm going to tell you what it is.
Okay.
It was actually a video you did that you called The Pothole, and you talked about some sort of strife in a relationship with your daughter. And our listeners should know that you actually have seven children and five grandchildren, so that is amazing in and of itself. But you're having a little bit of a pothole in the relationship with one of your daughters, and
yes.
The sound on this video was not what it could have been, let's put it that way. And you actually said the sound in your notes under the video, the sound is bad, but this will not be re-recorded. There are no retakes when you are real, raw, and right on.
Yes. It has to be, because if I have to go back and retake, those are emotions. What that video was raw emotion. With my children, I've adopted seven of my children. And I have two biological children, the rest are adopted. And they all loved equally. They all have been a part of our family for 9, 10 years. And when you see them grow up and make maybe the mistakes that we wouldn't want for them, you know, you have a hard time. And I don't care what anyone says. They say you let your children make mistakes. I try my best not to see them make the mistakes that maybe I have made or I've seen others around. And they're not always appreciative of that sometimes. And they get to the age where they start fighting back. They strike back. And they're women. And you're dealing with not only a little girl anymore, you're now dealing with a grown woman. And you're proud in a sense, but then you're also so concerned. And that video took place after much despair, much painful things said between my daughter and I. But it was still a shift in an attitude that people needed to see. Because I'm trying to help other people as well as myself. These things are for me as well. It just happens that I'm using the world as my platform, because I know there are other women out there that are dealing with the same thing. I know there are other young women out there that are maybe dealing with the same thing with their mothers. And, yes, the sound was bad. I had been crying for 2 hours prior to shooting the video. But I have a thing that I use, the old adage, the show must go on. And so it goes on. And it must go on, and the quality, in a couple of weeks, maybe you should re-record that. How do you re-record a broken heart? How do you re-record a moment in time that is real, like I said, real, raw, and unscripted? You can't. And then we begin to be fake then. We become to be, you know, well, they touched this up, or they bleeded this out. Then we begin to be that, and I don't want to be that way. I want this to be a real experience, of a woman's journey. You know, I want this to be real. And the only way I could do this is I have to show the bad sides, the good sides, the angry sides. That all has to be seen.
Well, that is so amazing. And I just wonder, you know, I asked you briefly before in our little brief pre-production meeting that we had right before we went on the air, I asked you if you had a background in theater or acting, and you said no, but I think it's so amazing that you have just embraced the social media platforms and put yourself out there in such a public way. Did you do anything in your earlier life that would prepare you for that?
No. I think all of this comes from having to shift attitudes with my children. Have to shift, you know, when you have different kids, different ages, different backgrounds, you know, you learn to adapt. You learn to do what works for them. And so I think that, well, I don't think I know. I know that that's where smart has come from. Be able to let them see a side of me, be able to sit down and talk to them. One daughter, and I do my Lisa after show, my daughter Ariel, who's just stunning, who's beautiful. And so to have to be Lisa on that level with her, you know, she has this really raw beauty and she attracts people and everything around her, and they love her. But then there's outside to that, too. And so I have to be able to go to her and talk to her in a way that she can relate to, so on and so forth with my other children. And so I think that it all began to be that this is a big stage that we're living on. Myself, my husband, and all these kids, we live on this stage, you know, in our home, and, you know, there's a lot going on. It's like my husband when he gets his superhero costume. You know, it's about reaching people. And the best way sometimes you can reach people is to go into their mindset, try to go into their mindset. It doesn't always work that way. And there you get the potholes. We were recording a video an hour before talking to you. I got some bad news, and I wanted the camera to roll. And so we rolled camera. And I'm going to post it. Because
wow.
I can't help you. I can't help you if I cannot help myself. And I'm not a counselor. I'm not one of the top named psychiatrists. I don't have a book out, not yet. I don't have these things. All I have is what works in my life, my authentic self. And I feel that sometimes when we do that, we can help people far more.
Donna, I wouldn't be surprised to see a book forthcoming, because one of the things that's very obvious to me is that you are an excellent writer, and you're not only great on video, but you're very interesting and fun to read, and clearly very, very skilled at writing. So now that I know that you're a former paralegal, I can kind of understand that. In a way that I hadn't before. You know, one of the things that you wrote that was so touching to me, and it goes back to your automobile metaphor. You say, as I became a more experienced driver and others around me learned the roads as well, we can share the road and journey even though we're driving to different destinations. I just thought
Absolutely.
That was beautiful. I thought that was beautiful.
Yep. That was geared a lot to my daughter, who I have had battles with. She's 21, and she's three children, and unmarried. And we had a big falling out, and it's in my blogs. We had a falling out, and she vowed she wouldn't come back ever to our home. Well, a couple weeks ago, there was a knock at the door, and there she was. So it was my grandkids, three of my grandkids. And I had not seen her since the twins, the youngest of the three, the twins, were born. And to see that we could sit in the room and talk, I can play with my grandchildren, and her decisions are her decisions. You know, we have to let that go sometimes, that we could share the road now. And her journey may not be taking her where I would hope it would go for her, but she's on a road, and she's you know, on that road. I'm on another road. Does it mean I don't love her? I love her with all of my heart, and I know she knows that, or she never would have come to the door. But that's just it. That's just it. I learned to ride on the road with other people and bump them or not try to push them aside, not get the road rage, just ride and avoid potholes like I hope they're doing. then we can get to a happy medium. That was, well, that's where that came from.
You know, I'm struck as I listen to you, and the fact that you do have seven children is so amazing, just, you know, to begin with, but then to realize that not only do you have seven children, but obviously you are seven times more experienced at being a parent than I am with one daughter. You know, you have had the parenting experience literally with seven different people. That must be an amazing accomplishment.
It is. It is probably the greatest accomplishment. At one time when we were doing the foster adoptive care, we had 10 kids in our home for Christmas. And to try to give 10 kids a Christmas, some that had never even had Christmas, that was amazing. That is where I've learned the life experiences. That is where that is my greatest accomplishment. A lot of people say, you know, that's not a big thing, that motherhood comes naturally, you do it, you get finished with it, and that's it. But that's not it. You know, I have offshoots of my kids' friends that call me mom. That, you know, the other day we had a house full of kids. And let's take that back. Young adults that come and sit and want to talk to me about life. And some of them have done some of the interviews for me for the Attitude Shifter that I'm launching now, a project I'm working on. They've come to me and to interview me because I want to tell about how I shifted my attitude or how I've changed. And I hear that. And, you know, I'm humbled by it. I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm just simply humbled by it because I've watched these young people grow and mature, and they've stumbled and skimped their knees and made mistakes. And I'm dealing with an issue with yet another daughter right now, and it breaks my heart. But the journey has to keep going on. We have to keep going, because if we stop, then everyone's going to go around us.
And you're so transparent and so out there with it. I mean, one of the things that is really amazing is I happen to know, because you've told us all, not only here today on the show, but on your websites and your blog, that you are still currently facing financial challenges. And
I am
doing all of this work at a time of great financial challenge is also very amazing. I think you're even looking for employment at this point.
I am.
Is that true?
I am looking for a job. And it's so funny, the same place that I went and applied for a job, my beautiful daughter, she got the job.
Oh, really?
She got the job. We applied for jobs at the same place. But then, again, I'm looking at the youth and the youngness and, you know, I have the crinkles around the eyes now and everything. And she called me today and she goes, Mom, I got the job. And I had to be smiling and going, yay, hooray, hooray, you know, for you. But I went to the same place. And
well,
and then
that goes to my question, you know, the third point I wanted to talk with you about.
Okay.
And that is your claim, Donna, that getting older is fun. How could that possibly be?
It is fun because as I'm getting older, kids are moving out. I'm having time with the grandchildren. I can kind of have some freedoms. I still have a 6- and 8-year-old in the home, but I have a little bit more freedom. I'm able to play with them and give them more time. When you have seven, you have to be cut seven different ways. And I have more time with them. They're running. I run. We laugh. I laugh. I watch silly movies with them. I get to enjoy my caped superhero husband more. Yes, I'm in financial problems. That's what my video is about today. My home is in foreclosure. And so I'm talking about, as I'm looking through all the papers, trying to put together what they want for the program that I'm trying to get on, a modification program, I'm overwhelmed by that. And it's clear in my video, I'm overwhelmed. But you know what? I am at an age in my life, 50, you know, like I keep telling people, 50 is a new 40, a new 30. It's what you make of it. Yes, I cried. Yes, I'm a little scared. You know what, Kay? I would not be human, not be scared. But I would not go back in time for anything in the world. I would not trade the lines around my eyes. I wouldn't trade sometimes that I'm a little out of breath after kicking the soccer ball in the yard. I kicked it. I'm playing. They're looking at Mom, and Mom is playing. So
darling, blah, 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 blah.
Because now I think probably one of the reasons you don't look wrinkled is because you are running. You know, when you run fast enough, the wrinkles don't show. That's what they say at any rate. But you look good. You know, let's just
face
it.
You look
good.
I do. I laugh.
You look good. I have a little different take on this than you. I think it's a woman's obligation to lie about her age, and I certainly take that obligation very, very seriously. And I would go back. I absolutely would go back to almost any age, because I think the wisdom in my own case, and I can only speak for myself certainly on this, but that wisdom that comes with age is, I think in my case, mythical. I don't, you know, there's none. I'm no wiser. If anything, I'm less so. And the more I live life, the more confused I get by it all, and the more complex it seems and complicated, and the less inclined I am to give advice based on my own experience, because I think my experience is rather unique and random. But, in saying all that, I thoroughly appreciate your approach and believe it's one way to go. And you are certainly very well loved by people in your family and also this larger outside world. Your children and grandchildren must be simply amazed by their mother.
I hope they are. Like I said, I'm not a couple of their favorites right now. But all in all, I feel they know I have done the best that I could do for them, to instill in them the values and giving them a dose of, you know, this is what a woman is like, and this is what you're going to have to be faced with. This is what you're going to have to deal with. There's no turning the clock back. You are going to get older. It's how you do it is what makes it, was how you leave your mark. I hope they are. My oldest daughter came for an impromptu 10-day visit from Washington State, and when she left, she gave me a hug, and she whispered in my ear, "You are the best." Things like that make a difference.
They do, but let's just examine this for a moment, because obviously I didn't know anything about the foreclosure, but let's just think about this for a moment, how amazing it is that today, living there in Louisiana, where you have a husband in a wheelchair, and the way you
approach... Well, he's already in a wheelchair now.
He's out of the wheelchair. Okay. Well, I think, you know, I think having a husband in the wheelchair and approaching that by putting him in a superhero costume is pretty amazing. But today you find out that your home is going into foreclosure. And so on this day, you do a video about it. You also appear on a radio show talking about it. I mean, you are really, really an amazing woman. I just wonder how many other people in foreclosure also did a video and went on a radio show.
Well,
it's obviously you're not here as a coping mechanism, but the fact that you would be here and not defeated by it and looking at it, you know, you don't sound real thrilled about it, but you are just taking it on, and I just think that is remarkable.
Thank you. Thank you for that. But it is about, like I said, I think I didn't have a meltdown. I had a meltdown with Siobhan before the show. And I told her, I was, you know, I've got to get through this. I've got to get through this. I know I can get through this. I'm on the right track. I've just got to take the necessary steps. And I told her, to be honest with you, I said, I don't even know what the next step is. But for, you know, but in my mind, I knew the next step. The next step was to get geared up for the show, was to look over the video that I did to make sure it's you know, ready and not any glitches in it before I post it, and to think about being strong for my children. I don't want my children to look at me and see that mom is so worried that she doesn't know what to do. You know, like I said, I have still two small children here, you know, that look at me, and I have to take care of those children. My husband and I have to do all that's possible to take care of them. And so we have to take the necessary steps and do whatever it takes, whether it be I go out and, you know, make no mistake, I've already applied for a job at McDonald's. We're going to do whatever it takes, because I don't quit. I don't give up. And that's what's going to take me from broke to stoked. That's what's going to do it, is the never say die attitude. I will not go back in that corner. I will not contemplate ending my life. I will not do those things. And once we say what we won't do and stick to it and find other alternatives, you know, I may not keep my house. We may not be able to keep it. We may have to move. Then I have to move. But I won't move without saying I did everything humanly possible to keep it. And that's how I live my life. That has been the shift in my life for the past year.
Well, that is really, I am rarely, people who know me, Donna, know that I am rarely speechless. At the moment, it's as close as it comes because you are so amazing. And I know a lot of amazing people. I'm fortunate that way. But you are really amazing in the way that you not only embrace your hardship, but you are not defeated by it, and you are public with it in such a new media way. It's just, you know, it's just really amazing on a lot of different levels.
Well, how can I help somebody, though? You know,
that's
it. How can I help somebody if I can't, if I hide behind the facade of it's always happy, Brady Bunchy, you know, June Cleavery, Cosby Showy in my world? Because it's not.
But, you know, the thing that I think that you do that makes it so cool and makes it work is that a lot of times when people are willing to talk about their hardship or trauma in their life, we don't like to be around them because it makes us uncomfortable. And the reason it makes us uncomfortable is because they are whiny. And you never go there. You never go there. And so that is why people could be drawn to your message and drawn to you even when your message is talking about some of the challenges, traumas, and hardship in your life. I have just loved the opportunity to get to know you a little better and to talk to you today and to let our listeners hear about the Broke Wives Club and the attitude shift. There is information through links on our show notes, and I know they're going to want to be checking you out, particularly your YouTube channel. They have to see, I insist upon it, listeners, you have to see Lisa Johnson in action. I mean, she just does a makeover like you could not imagine, and you'll be signing up yourself for your own. Donna, thank you again for being here today.
You're so welcome, Kay. It's been a pleasure, and I am just awestruck that you would have me on to share my story. A lot of people don't like to hear it, but thank you so much for that opportunity.
It's been great.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Women Are Not Funny Radio, a New Media International production. On behalf of Kay Ballard, her fabulous guest, and the secretly hilarious Women Are Not Funny team, thanks for being here. You can listen to our replays anytime you please, but it's so much more fun when you're here. So join us again live next Friday afternoon for Women Are Not Funny Radio.